stand tonight and proclaim God's word. Tonight we're going to look in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 5, verse 18 through 24. And then we're going to take a journey to the book of Jude and then to the book of Hebrews. And tonight we're going to talk about one of my favorite characters, Enoch. Enoch, a man who walked with God. Years ago when I pastored a church for a time, I would go and to my barn and go over my sermon. My kids were small then, and they lived with us. I would have a crowd of animals there. I had some horses and dogs and cats, and they'd all come and they'd nod. And for some reason, the horses liked to listen to whatever I had to say. I don't know why. But I noticed the last day or two, and especially this afternoon as I was going over everything, all I had was a cat. And that cat, he just had his paws up and surrendered. So my moral crowd is diminished in animals. But tonight we're looking at Enoch, a story that is told and brought over by a great ship in the heart and mind of Noah, and penned by an Egyptian-educated Hebrew shepherd, Moses. What a story we have tonight. Let's look at chapter 5, verse 18. Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. And after he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years, and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. I just pray that you speak to me tonight. Speak to us, Lord, and let your Spirit guide us as we search your scriptures for the word you have. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Enoch is part of a family group. A lot of faithful people came in his line. Matter of fact, you might say it's a remnant of godly people that came from Adam and Eve. God's always had a remnant of folks. Jeremiah went to the promised land when the children of Israel went there. I mean, he went to the land of Babylon from the promised land. And Daniel, the prophet. Throughout sacred history, God has kept work in people like Enoch and Daniel and Jeremiah. Their lights burning in a dark world, and the darker the world, the brighter they shined. Look how dark the world is when we look in chapter 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. We can't imagine how evil the world was at the time just before Noah, the years prior to that. I'm sure there were sorcerers and wickedness and demons and evilness. And imagine people living a long time. It could actually be a curse with wicked people, because wicked people would get more wicked and do more evil things. I just can't even imagine what life would have been like for God just to turn his head and to cause a flood. It must have been pretty bad. But we see some light standing out, some people who are willing to follow God. And it started in this godly family with Adam and Eve's son, Seth. If you look with me in verse 25 of chapter 4, Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God had appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, who Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. So we have a genealogy in chapter 5 of 10 generations that goes from Adam all the way to Noah. 10 generations of people who were willing to pass the godly knowledge and saving knowledge, but not only knowledge, but their hearts and who God was about and what God was about in an ungodly world. A godly line of people who worshiped the Lord and prayed, and they began to call on the name of the Lord, the Bible says. They were like chains, links that held the families together. And when I look at Enoch, he was the seventh generation. Of course, seven is a number of completion, perfect. Enoch was like he had the chains of his family in one hand and the links of a chain in the other, going from Adam all the way to Noah. And it was like he was holding them together, making sure that Noah, his great-grandson, would know about God. And his son Methuselah would know about God. And he lived a legacy, and we're reading about this legacy tonight. And we, as Christians, have a legacy in our life. These are not just names in a book that are random names or of a genealogy. This happens to be the first genealogy of godly people. These are not just people on a roll book, but these are people that Noah knew and that he brought over. And he made sure that we know people of godly faith who kept the faith in spite of the world that they lived in. You know, we have people, since I've been at this church, who are on the rows of this church. They've gone on to be with the Lord. Probably in the rows of our church, it doesn't say very much about what they did or who they were. But in our hearts and in our minds, we know those people. And those people have given so much to this church, their faithfulness and their resources and their love of God and their love of people. And we stand upon those shoulders and of those generations in the past to proclaim and to work for the Lord. And so this is a generations of people, 10 generations, that Noah wanted to include and wanted us to make sure that we knew that God keeps a faithful family going. You might say it's a scarlet thread of redemption that keeps going. You know, it doesn't take a lot of faithful people to do God's work. You know, Abraham asked God, he said, Lord, if there's just 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, would you destroy it? For the sake of 10 righteous people, Sodom could have been saved, but they couldn't find 10. Daniel and his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, had a change on the Babylonian Empire and on Nebuchadnezzar because they were willing to stand up for their faith. It doesn't take that much, does it? When people stand up, Elijah thought he was the only one. But he was willing to stand up, and the Lord said, there's 7,000 more who haven't bowed the knee to the prophet Baal. But Jesus said, where just two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. Two or three who can pray. Two or three who can focus on what God's work is. Two or three who can call on the name of the Lord. It's amazing what God can do with just a few people who call on his name. Well, we look at Enoch's walk. It's a walk of testimony. He had a walk of progress. He had a changed life. And we see in verse 21, it said that Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he had Methuselah, the Bible says Enoch walked with God 300 years. Something changed in Enoch's life. Something changed, and I believe it was the birth of his child, Methuselah. Maybe I'm sure Enoch was a good man, and he was a righteous man. But I believe when he had that child, as a father knows, I remember when my son Andrew was born over 30 years ago, it was an overwhelming sense of responsibility. I said, I'm a dad now. I got to live right and be responsible and take care of my son. And it is. And so maybe Enoch had that responsibility in that dark world that they lived in. He said, you know, I've got to make sure that my son knows the Lord. I've got to make sure his son knows the Lord and that God's name is carried on so people can call on the name of the Lord. Yes, Enoch had a testimony. I don't know what his life was the 65 years before he had Enoch, but it was not the life that he had after he started walking with the Lord. A testimony. Think about testimonies, your testimony in your life. I know my daughter went to New York. I took her there after she graduated high school. We went to Grand Central Station, and they had done a $4.4 million cleaning job in 1995. And they had this big mural up. And they had cleaned half of an inch of grime and dirt. And the lady in charge of that, they told us, had come from Russia, and she had cleaned the Kremlin. And they got this mural looking very pretty, and they left an 8x3 area that was still dirty. See, over 50-something years, dirt and grime and smoke and dust at this train station had gathered up on this mural. And the lady said, you know, we need to leave something just enough so people can remember what we cleaned and what it was like before. Sometimes we need to step back and look at what our life was before we met Christ. We all have a testimony. God often uses crises or events in a person's life to bring about change. Every generation, every person has to decide to believe, to find grace in the eyes of the Lord, see a saving grace. You see, it wasn't what Enoch did that made God accept him, but it's what he believed. You see, we see in chapter 6, verse 8, it says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But you don't have a list of how great Noah was. Yes, he was a responsible person. He was a good person. But it's not our works that get us saved. It's by having faith in Jesus Christ and believing in him. And that's the walk that I believe started with Enoch. He had that faith, a faith that we can learn from and live by. The Bible reminds us, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a God. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, I believe in Enoch's testimony, he would tell you that he wanted to please God. He would tell you that he wanted to be the person that God wanted him to be, that God had created him to be. And he wanted to be the work of God and wanted God to work his hands in his life. And so he's a testimony to us to show us that we can draw so close to the Lord when we let the Lord work in our life. A godly line from Seth to Noah to show the salvation to us. Well, not only did he have a testimony, but he had faith. In the book of Hebrews, we're reminded of the faith of Enoch. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 reminds us, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Enoch is mentioned in the Hall of Faith in chapter 11. So is his great-grandson, Noah. And so are so many other people who have a faith as an example. Wouldn't it be wonderful to know that you please God, or that I please God? Man, that's a testimony for me. I would like to get up and know that I can do something to please God this morning. I could walk in a certain way and have God and know God to where I please him and do what God wants me to do. That's the walk that Enoch had. Enoch's name means dedicated. He was a dedicated person. In his walk in this world, he walked among ordinary people, places, events. His relationship was lived out in the context of home and a job and a community. And when I would read the Bible through, sometimes I would pass by Enoch's name and I would think about how holy this man was. And I would say, well, you know, maybe he lived in a cave. Maybe he just prayed all day long and didn't get out. And maybe he ate locusts and wild honey like John the Baptist and just didn't associate with folks. But we know that he is a man who walked with God. And God is a person who loves people and cares for people. And so if God was that kind of person, and is, then Enoch must be like that. A person who does get out with people, who walks and talks about God. Now, you know, it's easy sometimes to be godly around godly people. But how do we walk among ungodly people? I believe that Abraham's nephew Lot said the right things and was probably one of his favorite nephews. But when Lot moved to Sodom, I believe there was a change. I believe Lot walked the walk of Sodom and Gomorrah, talked their talk, and lived in that society where he was accepted. But we know what happened to Lot. The angels had to come get him, and his life had become very immoral. Bad company corrupts good morals, the Bible reminds us. So I believe Enoch was a person not only who prayed and was dedicated, but he was a courageous person, a person of courageous faith. You know, courage is not the absence of fear, but one person said it is a person who can master the fear that they have and keep going. I think about courage. There's so many examples of courage, from people in the Alamo to Stonewall Jackson standing still, and there's people in our that you know in your families, and I've got to thinking about courage, and I remember my dad years ago when we were kids. We lived out in the woods out toward Lost Mountain in the edge of Paulding County, and in that time in the 60s and the 70s where we lived was very out in the woods, and there was nobody around us. We lived on a dirt road, and there was a house a ways from us, an old dilapidated house, and some people had moved in. They were hippies, and they were on drugs, and they were doing things, and they were stealing from some of the farmers around. And it sounds kind of crazy now as I think about this story. I'd forgotten about it. But they were threatening some of the neighbors and family around, and I was like 7 or 8 years old, and my older brother's just three or four years older than me. My dad and mom called the police, and back then there wasn't a lot of police cars like we have now. Things have changed, but they said, well, we might can get out there, but don't plan on it. Now, I remember mom was really scared. He got in his truck, and he took a small pistol. He was an infantry in the Marines, and he was an expert shooter. And he took with him that little pistol, and he took something called courage. And he went to this house where people were going crazy, and probably 30 people there. And he said some of them came after him with knives or whatever. I don't know the whole story. We were all scared to death. And something you might think that my dad's kind of crazy for doing something like that, but that's just him. So over about an hour he stayed there. We couldn't get the police to come, and they were having a big ruckus and real loud. Everybody could hear it. And by the time Dad came back, they were just as quiet as could be. Didn't hear anything else from them. Matter of fact, they moved out. Now, I don't know what Dad did. I don't know what he said. Matter of fact, he forgot it. And he's 83 today, and if I were to mention it to him, he'd probably forget it. But we three boys never forgot it. He showed us an example of courage and taking care of your family. I was thinking about this as a good plug for Father's Day, you know. But you know, I think Enoch was a great father. Said he had sons and daughters. Someone who had seen enough of this world to be able to comprehend the darkness of time. Someone who realizes the light and life that God has. Someone willing to save his family. Someone who could see the future. I believe Enoch walked so close to God that maybe he knew about the future that was headed. Maybe he knew of the destruction that was coming. Well, Jude writes down this about Enoch. We know in Hebrews that he pleased God with his faith. But Enoch writes that he's a preacher in verse 14. It says, now Enoch was the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. I believe he was a stand-up character, a person, a preacher who was willing to preach to an audience that may never accept him and may never accept his God, but he was willing to stand up in the gap to come and tell people about the Lord. Wonder what he preached. Probably preached, come back to God. Maybe he preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what Jesus preached. That's what John the Baptist preached. But I believe he was called to preach about God's kingdom, and he wanted to make sure that his children knew. He wanted to make sure that they knew that there's a spiritual warfare going on. I believe that Enoch was the kind of person who got ready for a spiritual battle every day. He's an example for us how to fight life's battles and through light and darkness, through faith and doubt. He's an example of how to fight, not just a battle of flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual hosts and wickedness in heavenly places, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. He's an example of us to stand for a spiritual battle every day. No matter what we face, God's got a job for us to do every day. Sometimes we forget about that job, but we don't have to look far. There's people that God puts in our way, people that God wants us just to help, maybe say a good word to, but he's there. Maybe Enoch is like some of you after vacation Bible school, hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. But think about vacation Bible school. Yes, it's hard working all day coming up here, but what are we really fighting for? We're fighting for the souls of our children. That's what we're fighting for. We're fighting that the Lord gets into them and helps them. And so another generation can know the Lord. And so this world can be a better place. And at least people will know that the Lord is working. Persecuted but not forsaken. Struck down but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body and the dying the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Our bodies. You know, sometimes we need to focus our lives and our prayer. Maybe it's just one person that God has for you. I think about LASIK surgery. You know, they use a laser to reshape the cornea of your eye. And it's an amazing thing. But what is that laser? It's actually just a stream of intense light. And you know, sometimes in our prayer life, when we pray for something and focus on something, God's light can shine and do some marvelous work. And I believe that's the kind of life that Enoch is trying to remind us through his life of walking through God, that sometimes God brings people in our way for us to help along the way to walk with God. Well, not only that, was that Enoch's walk was a consecrated walk of faith. He didn't just know about God. He just didn't know about the story of God. He knew God and knew God personally. He walked with God. His testimony, it was about faith. He had communion with God, an abiding presence in his life. Boy, I said that this man may be have kept in a cave in prayer all day, but you know he had some mighty strong, powerful come to Jesus meetings. He had, and you know, it takes faith to spend time in prayer and to put a time in your life to where you pray. It takes faith to pray diligently, to seek him, as James says in James chapter 4:15, that the prayer of faith will save the sick. It takes faith to warn others about the future and to stand and to warn and to preach to those who may not even believe you. So he is a man of consecrated faith who walked with God. He's a person who obeyed God. He made a conscious decision, I believe, every day to obey God rather than man. He had that faith. Well, the Bible says God took him home. It's the first person that we read in the Bible that God took home like that and didn't allow to die. We know that Elijah was taken up in a chariot, but here we have Enoch. And I think about what is home? What is home to you? Home is a place of memories. Home is a place where you feel comfortable. Home is a place that you go back to a lot of times. But you know what? Home is where you go to, where people love you, where your loved ones are. You know, I believe there must have been a relationship with God and Enoch, that there was a love there that was so powerful, God said, just come on up here with me. And sometimes, you know, that's the greatest comfort that we can have when our loved ones have passed away. God's taking them home. That's the words we use a lot. And that's true. You see, God's in the giving business, and he's in the taking business. He gives lives and he gives salvation. But he takes people home too. And he knows our hearts and our minds. Enoch entered the world that he had faithfully represented as an ambassador for God. Isn't that something? He was an ambassador on this world for the world that he entered. Now, I don't know why. I've thought about this. I don't know why in the world the Creator would love his creation so much. It's just overwhelming to me that God would love us. But somehow, through thousands of years and generations, Noah brought this story, Moses wrote it down, prophets have written this story down, the apostles have written their stories, and we have a book that says God loves us and cares for us. We don't have to understand it. And he doesn't love us just because of what we've done or what somebody's done. He loves us just because he wills. It's his will and his way. I think about what John writes in John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the will of God. It's God's will that he loves you and he cares for you. And he shows us through these stories, this story of Enoch, that he wants to bring joy and a sense of peace and contentment in our lives when we walk with him. All throughout Scripture, we are told about walking with the Lord. Romans chapter 8, Paul reminds us those who walk in the Spirit. And he talks about that walk all through that chapter. But I believe that if we were to look at a verse that would help us, remind us walking with the Lord, it would be what Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3. And maybe this would be something that Enoch would say. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of earth. You know, the mind is a powerful thing. What you believe is powerful. And it has a lot to do with your mind. I went to the hospital last week to comfort a friend, and he had some troubling thoughts in his mind. And I reminded him that Jesus loved him and read some scripture. I don't know how much help, but he seemed a whole lot better just hearing that God loved him. And that's what our mind needs to hear. Set your mind on the things above, not on things on earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Jesus, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I believe Enoch was a person who wants to show us that walking with God is part of that, is setting our mind and our hearts on the things above. Because that's what faith is about, setting our minds on the things that we don't yet see, but yet we believe. Enoch's life ended in the same manner that he lived it, with God. Dr. Stephen Olford said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what is done for Christ will last. Thank you. Let's pray.